The development of the whole man and of all men. Pope Paul VI mapped out his plan for the Catholic Church's social teaching on development 40 years ago in his encyclical Populorum Progressio. And to remember that landmark document here in Rome, the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace organized last week the Second World Congress of Ecclesial Organizations Working for Justice and Peace. More than 300 delegates from over 80 countries participated in the meeting. One of them was executive director of the Washington-based Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, Alexia Kelly. I asked her why her organization thought it was so important to attend this meeting.
Our mission, the focus of our mission is to promote awareness in the United States, in particular of the Catholic social tradition and Catholic social teaching. And so this opportunity to come and reflect with justice and peace leaders within the church from around the world, whose that is their primary mission, was a great opportunity for us, I think, to make relationships and connections with the global church and to reflect on the Populorum Progressio, which they were commemorating the 40th anniversary of that document. We're also working on a book, our organization, myself and my deputy director, on Catholic social tradition, Catholic social doctrine, and particularly the vision of the common good for Americans to understand that within our public life. And so I think it was a good opportunity to come to Rome and to reflect on the Catholic social doctrine, which was one of the focus areas of the meeting.
Explain this concept of the common good for people who are not familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly a central principle in the Catholic social tradition. I met a Nigerian priest at this conference who looked at our organizational title. He said, "Ah, the common good. It's throughout Catholic social teaching, and it's really a central principle in all the documents, the encyclicals." And it's interesting because I think in the United States, it's certainly not understood in our culture and our political culture and social culture. It's not a driving sort of vision or concept. But in the Catholic social tradition, it really means it's very substantive and also very specific. And there's a sense of we're all interdependent. We both have individual dignity, but we're created to live in society and in community, and we're dependent on other people. And so our policies and our social structures and society needs to be created and acting in such a way that it supports everybody and that everyone can reach their potential and everyone has an opportunity to flourish and that other people's well-being relates to ours, that we're connected. So when one person is suffering, we all suffer. And in Catholic social teaching, it developed over time and then became quite a global principle. The universal common good was understood as a global reality. So, you know, when someone in Nigeria or the Philippines is suffering, when that country is not doing well, the United States or Italy is also suffering. So, but a sense of creating policies too. I mean, there's a political public policy dimension that we have to influence as lay people and as the church try to influence our societies so that the structures and policies and culture benefits everyone and not just the few, that it's not just the privileged who are flourishing, but that everyone has an opportunity to flourish and that promotes the greater good, the public well-being, the common good of everyone.
In fact, that came out quite strongly in Populorum Progressio when Paul VI wrote basically that it is the individual. We have to be looking at the individual and the community. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a revolutionary concept back then. Instead of looking, I mean, it was before the internet, before computers even, before this concept of globalization, mm-hmm. World travel in airplanes. Everybody now can buy a cheap ticket. So our world is getting smaller. And Paul VI was saying, way before this time, we have got to look at the individual, the progress of the individual within a community.
And he was challenging, really, it was very much focused on development, a sense of integral human development and international economic development, but that we had to redefine that to be focused on the good of the person, of humanity. So you had to look at how human development was helped. So you weren't, and it wasn't just a material development. more stuff, more goods and products was not enough, and that even wealthy societies could their common good and humanity could be threatened by just an excessive materialism. So when we're looking at solidarity and partnering with developing countries to support their development, it's not just a material acquisition of goods that you can't just look at that. But I think Catholic social teaching is very countercultural in a way and has always challenged this excessive focus on individualism and just individual rights, that human rights are important, certainly, and they are the core of Western society. But we can't have an unbalanced understanding of just the individual's right to something, that the individual's rights reach their potential, are met also in community. So you have to look at how the community thrives as well. And that's where your rights are accomplished.
It's interesting that you bring up the idea of a consumeristic society where the individual is the center and it's me, 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 I want this, and I'm going to buy myself a new iPod and the stereo and all these things. We just passed Thanksgiving, and on all of the Italian television networks, we were seeing images of Americans flooding the supermarkets and the malls and buying frantically. It seems like, for us living here in Europe, it's quite a strange image, but when you're living it in America, the message is consume, consume, consume.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And that's a challenge of the Catholic social tradition, but it doesn't permeate very well in our American culture, that the message and our, there's certainly economic other messages we get to go shopping and help the economy. But we're at our organization that I run, Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, we're actually conducting an awareness campaign starting next week, December 4th, I think it is, a media and awareness campaign, public education campaign around Christmas and how the real, to bring our attention back through the mass media, so reaching Catholics and Americans through contemporary media with this message that Christmas is about family and community and love of one's neighbor, and that is why, Jesus was born to bring us this good news, and we have to focus on what that good news is for our communities and in our families, and that the excessive consumerism, while giving gifts is a good, can be an excellent, metaphor and a way to express love, God's love, and our love for our families and friends. It can also be a distraction if it becomes too excessive, and it can distract us from the real message of Christmas. So we're going to do a lot of public education messaging work around that theme for the next month.
In what way?
Well, we're doing an advertising effort in some newspapers. We have a media program, and we help to place editorials, op-ed pieces, they're mm-hmm. called, in secular and religious newspapers. So we'll be doing that. And we have a website that's linked to our website on Christmas that provides alternative giving opportunities for families, the Haifa Project, and ways to help your giving and shopping be something that supports the common good and global development as well as gift giving.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not all tinsel and Santa Claus,
right,
and so on.
But we don't want to come across as the Grinch either, saying that, you don't ever want to buy anyone a present at all, just that you want to keep it in balance and remember why you're buying the present in the first place. Mm-hmm. And hopefully maybe the buying the presents can further the message of Christmas too.
Just again on the meeting that you were here for, mm-hmm. in Rome. Did anything extraordinary come out of that meeting? Anything that made you sit up and say, hey, wow, why didn't I think of that?
It was certainly exciting to be reflecting on this 40th anniversary of the encyclical that they were commemorating. And I think what was most powerful for me, having not attended one of these congresses before, was to be reminded again and experience the global reality, global dimension of our church. These were Justice and Peace Commission's directors, lay people and bishops and priests and women religious who are staffing these Justice and Peace Commissions all over the world. In India, in Malaysia, in the Philippines, in African countries, in Hong Kong. That was fascinating to hear what kinds of issues they're struggling with. And we had a working group session for about 2 hours with a smaller group of 25 people. The whole Congress was about 300 participants. And in that group, I was the note taker and had to report back. So I was really listening very intently to all the reflections. And everybody shared, we focused on the issue of conflict and what the Justice and Peace Commissions, what the local church, their local church was doing to address conflict. And it was incredible the kinds of things the Catholic Church, primarily through these the Justice and Peace Commission in the diocese or the country, was doing to alleviate the roots of conflict, especially promoting interfaith in a religious dialogue, inviting Muslim and Christian leaders to come to the table, addressing kind of roots of political conflict, discrimination in the Constitution. For example, in Pakistan, there's a lot of discrimination against Christians who can't really participate freely in elections as they might, you know, as would be hoped. Just all kinds of things that the church was doing to promote nonviolence and to promote interfaith dialogue and get at the roots of ethnic conflict was really powerful. And I think if Catholics in the United States could be aware of this. I mean, it's in relationship, I think. That's the one thing we shared in our report, that by meeting the people who are working on these issues that are not just theoretical. I mean, these are many cases, these are life and death issues of poverty and AIDS and whatever it might be, political violence. I mean, the church in Pakistan is in the middle of a, you know, political crisis and trying to help, you know, support democracy and justice there in Pakistan. So to meet the person who's the Justice and Peace staff person for the Catholic Church in Pakistan is fascinating. And I think for American Catholics, this could be very motivating and important to join in solidarity with the church around the world. And I think for all, Americans can be, you know, we can get focused, as you said, on shopping the day after Thanksgiving and the things, but to be reminded of the global, both the global reality of our world, but the global nature of our church, which is really powerful and wonderful and unique, is important. And so we're committed to just promote that awareness and maybe promote opportunities for Catholics to join with the church globally in solidarity to promote the common good.
Alexia Kelly is Executive Director of Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, which partners with over 20 national Catholic social justice organizations in the U.S. to advance Catholic social teaching in the media and in the public square.